Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
Generationally ass. This was so f-ing bad. Genuinely, I mean that. I really do. I know I'm joking. More than 50% of the duration of the State of the Union was just, look at this guy, look at that guy. I basically never recovered after the men's Olympic hockey team, and that happened really early in. There was basically nothing about the future of this country. Oh, there were some pithy throwaways like the Trump accounts or whatever. There was nothing really. Not talking about what they've done, very little bragging. Honestly, it was just sad, and it made me wonder, like, it makes me wonder what their plan is. I mean, are they really just going to lose the midterms? Then they're like, well, that happened. I guess so. The big black pill that you have to accept in politics is that the world is being ruined by extremely stupid people. Stupid, self-interested. They're not interesting. They're not funny. They're not especially charismatic. Trump is, but most of them aren't, you know. It's just boring losers who just happen to run up to the top. It didn't used to be like that. I've delved down this little talking point before or whatever, but the Founding Fathers were pretty impressive people. Founding Fathers of the USA, you've read about them in your history class that you weren't paying attention to because you were playing Angry Birds in your phone or whatever type shit, 6-7. Not to say they weren't stupid in their own ways, but like the harsh conditions of their environment, you know, the environment that they emerged to power within kind of demanded of them some degree of competence, not total competence, but it was Flappy Birds, Angry Birds, I don't know. At the very least, they were better than this. What we're arriving at, Ralph Lauren Sweater, is kind of the end point of liberal democracy. You know, the politicians are captured by corporate interests, and as a consequence, the standard, the bar for education and competence has just dropped lower and lower and lower and lower, and now it takes very little. It doesn't take very much. You don't need a big master plan to pull this off, right? All the people who are looting and raping the country right now, they're mostly taking advantage of the fact that all the people around them who might otherwise pose a threat are themselves incompetent, cowardly, or complicit, you know? Very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. No, as a whole, we have gotten stupider, I think, in many ways, you know? Or maybe I should say the drive to competence has changed. I liked your point about how an entire candidate was wiped out by the line, have you no decency? McCarthy, yes. McCarthy, the famed Cold War agitator and liar. Yes, there was a standard of decency back then, even as bad as the Red Scare was. There was a standard of decency. Now there is none. There is literally none, you know, as we all know. And it's not an exaggeration. Donald Trump could just rape a child and brag about it. I mean, he's raped many, but, you know, he could do it again, I guess, and then brag about it. And it wouldn't affect much of anything. Electorally, obviously, it would ruin that child's life. You know, so we are living, I guess, in a post-decency world. And by the way, that does go in both directions. That's not just the Republicans. I really do think that what Schumer and Jeffries represent is a level of willful, abstemious incompetence that is about as undignified as what Trump represents. I really do think that, you know. They say you hate the traitor most, right? The person positioned behind you, they stab you in the back. It doesn't matter if they're a greater threat than the person in front of you. They were behind you, and they still stab you. No, it's very bad. It's very, very bad. This isn't just a matter of America's national decline. This is capital, of course. At the end of the day, there were limiting factors on the power and the arrogance of kings and queens and aristocrats, mostly because if they overstepped, they'd be fucking killed by the people around them. But liberal democracy has succeeded in ensuring that its leaders are not susceptible to those pressures, at least for the most part, by creating an incredibly nuanced, layered, and frankly, asinine, overlapping set of dependencies, which means that even if some enterprising citizen decided to Kirkenually solve the problem themselves, it wouldn't really change anything, you know? Everyone has redundancies. Everyone is replaceable. There's no real, like, throne. It's more like a big amalgam of power that, you know, may, I mean, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people potentially could be run through. It wouldn't change anything. And all of this is, of course, done to serve capital. And I don't think anything's going to change it. I'm sorry. I think we're at the end of history truly this time. I'm lying, of course. I'm lying. I'm joking. It's a joke. It's a bit, you know, we're not really at the end of history. That's not a real, oh, that's Spanberger's address. We'll cover that later. I don't care right now. It's about the material conditions, okay? It's like Marx said, because he's smarter than you. He's smarter maybe even than me. No, you have to recognize the goal of liberal democracy is to produce an army of sycophants for the status quo who cannot be removed by force or through democracy. You can vote out the Republicans, buddy. The Democrats are not going to meaningfully change the direction that we're going on, right? It doesn't really matter. Look at the UK right now. You vote in Labour, you get the same path. Tories, you get the same path. Reform, trust me, buddy, you're going to get the same path. The arc continues. You know, it's not meaningfully going to change, and nothing you do by force is going to matter. Eventually, some kind of systemic collapse will occur and we'll be shifted out. My belief is that our best hope is to be well positioned so that when that collapse occurs, we can build things better, you know, build back better, right? That's the hope. Stop Chud posting. It's not Chud posting. Basic historical materialism. Historical materialism. By the way, that long arc of history sometimes does work in your favor. Notice how, so it's sort of a tendency towards, I don't know what you would, what you would call it, sort of like apathy or glacialization. Notice how we have experienced now 10 years of a fascist uprising in this country. What has this amounted to with regard to people's, you know, political opinions? I would argue the lasting effect of the fascist uprising in this country with regard to cultural opinions, essentially negligible and meaningless. In spite of everything, it is probably, on average, better to live as a trans person today than it was 10 years ago. In spite of the polling, as we've seen it shift up and down, the degree of support and cultural assimilation outpaces what people's nominal support indicates. Or to put it another way, back then, a lot of people said they supported trans people, but were still, you know, in terms of experience. Whereas nowadays, a lot of people will say they don't support trans people, but, you know, they're here. It does depend on the state. I agree. There's been a greater degree of polarization. But keep in mind, we are talking about, quite literally, the capture of the U.S. government by neo-Nazis. A significant number of the people working in the White House right now are actual, literal neo-Nazis. They control the media. They control Congress to the extent that it exists. They control the Supreme Court. And what has the result been? Negligible movement of the needle. So the inertia, or the lack thereof, works in both ways. Just as this country is doomed to economic, financial, and climate collapse, so too are trans people going to keep playing ultra kill. You know, history moves in funny ways. No one has their hands at the wheel and nobody can change the direction we're all moving in. So that's cool in a way. Have you been to the South or do you discount entirely? Well, I do discount the South entirely, but I don't know how that relates to my opinion here. Despite the higher level of polarization, I'd be willing to bet that the average number of hate crimes against queer people probably hasn't moved that much. Maybe it's gone down a little bit. Of course, violence in general has gone down. You know, there's a big difference between tacit, nominal approval of a group and social disallowance, you know? A lot of people who would have considered themselves progressive back in the 1990s or 1980s probably would have been less accepting of the existence of gay or trans people than a reactionary person is today. It really depends on the group you're talking about, you know? You trying to take over my channel? What are you doing? What are you doing? You reading Donos? Is that true? Who taught you English? Why are you purring? Why are you purring? Why are all your cats so chill? Good luck, I suppose. And a lot of love.